Isaiah 55 verse 1 starts with, "Ho! And anybody who's thirsty, come to me and drink," in the New King James Version. So there is a satisfaction and a feeling that is like none other. And it's the greatest challenge in a relationship, I think. It's one of many that can happen in a marriage, where you realize this woman, this man, can't love me like I really want to be loved. Only Jesus can love me that way. This human being, I need to release them from that obligation that I might be placing them under to love me perfectly. They cannot do that. The only one who can is Jesus. It's first love. So I want to talk quickly to the value of the one. Jesus cares for the one. He cares for you right now. He cares for what you're going through. He cares for the part of the ache of your heart that you perhaps haven't even told those people who are closest to you. He cares so much for you. Jesus went out after the one. It's the lost sheep story, right? You know how Jesus tells the stories to make a point. It's the lost coin. It's the lost sheep. He goes on and on with this value that Jesus places on the one. So I want to let you know tonight, as a community, we just want to salute and applaud many stories that we hear of those of you who go out and love the one. Are you hearing me? Those who love the one who is at sometimes looks unlovable, or who is just a struggler. But to love the one is Jesus' heart. That is the love we actually have all experienced. Can you say amen? We all are that unlovable, undeserving person. But Jesus went out and he found us. He cares for the one. But next to that comes this realization: the first and greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind and your soul. When Peter was restored by Jesus, what question did Jesus ask Peter? He said, "Peter, do you love me?" Here's Peter, like on the kind of precipice. Talk about looking forward and not back. In that moment, what restored Peter? It was the love of Jesus. And Peter, who denied Jesus three times and who had every reason to think, "I am not worthy to be your disciple. I've just right now committed ministry suicide by doing what I've done." But that wasn't the case, right? Because of God's grace, Peter went on to be a mighty apostle of God, a man full of boldness and courage, like he turned the world upside down. And that came about because he met again his first love. But the question that Jesus asked of him before it was anything to do with what you're going to do in the future, Peter, it was, "Peter, do you love me?" And he asked Peter that question three times. So a critical question right now, I believe, for us as a community and for those of you who will be listening to this at another time is, do you love me? Look, are you in love with me? Or have you lost the wonder of what it really is like to be loved by Jesus? The wonder of the depth of the Father's marvelous love. So many stories, if you listen to revival stories of when people have been overcome with a sense of God's presence, overcome with the reality of who God is. It is this sense of encountering the love of God. You'll hear that time and time again if you listen to stories of people like Heidi Baker or others who have gone on to, like Peter himself, to have high impact ministries, have actually first of all encountered the wonder of what it is to be loved. Would it be, Hive family, as we go forward to 2024, would it be that yes, we see kingdom partnerships take root and bear more fruit? Would it be that we look forward and not behind? And would it be that we perhaps recover the wonder of first love? Big question, do you love me? You know the story in the book of Revelation, we're about to finish, that there was all those prophetic words given to different parts of the community of the church. And there was the church of Ephesus, who were commended for many things, but the thing that they were not commended for was, "You have lost your first love." So supernaturally, Jesus, right this second, looks into all of our hearts, does he not? And he knows our heart. He knows what's going on, and there's not a condemnation in this moment. For it is really the honesty of a revelation moment before Jesus. Jesus, I actually feel like I have lost some of that. It has dulled a little bit. And what can we do? The whole point is of the commandment: love the Lord your God with your heart and your mind and your soul. There is a presupposition that somehow we actually have a capacity to choose who we love. We have a capacity to choose who we love. We have a capacity to say no to those things that distract us or compete for love, right? That's actually built in to us. We have that capacity. And so to simply repent, what does repent mean? It actually is acknowledging the intention and the desire to actually change that and to recognize, wow, there's actually a higher way to live. It's a revelation of something better. And I think where we're going in 2024 is something better, something we haven't experienced before. And I think that's to do with first love. And in the Ephesus story, there's simply a commendation. It says, to return to the works of that you did at the beginning. And who knows, when you're in love with someone, you'll do anything for them, right? If you're the bloke, won't you? You'll dress differently. You'll buy flowers when you've never been at a florist shop in your life. You'll go into a jewelry store and get involved with talking about rings. You've never thought about rings ever before, but for this person, you'll do it. This is the power of first love. It affects our heart, it affects our works, it affects our thoughts, it affects our deeds. It is completely that thing. And the condemnation to the Ephesus church was, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, verse 5, from where you have fallen. What's that simply? It's just acknowledging, wow, it used to be different. And I want to get back what I had. And then it says, repent and do the first works. Or else I'll come to you quickly and I'll remove your lampstand from its place. That's Revelation, Book of Revelation, chapter 2. And the account to the Ephesus church is from verse 1 to verse 7. And I was quoting verse 4 and 5. So would it be that we would be that lampstand church, right? That community of people, would it be that our Hive Hub and the various relationships that we get to share in and give into and partner with, would it be there'd be something resplendent about those relationships? Would it be something that is light-bearing, that is light-giving to the world? I believe that is our future. So behold what manner of love.